I wish I was a British pound coin instead of an African girl. With these words, Little B introduces herself, a refugee who spent 2 years in an immigration detention center in England, learning the Queen's English to survive. A coin can go anywhere, welcomed in every pocket, while she is stopped at every border. Unlike most refugees who are seen but not heard, Little B has a voice, one that speaks with clarity, humor, and devastating insight about the collision between privileged Western lives and those fleeing unimaginable horror. The moment that connected these worlds happened on a Nigerian beach. Sarah and Andrew O'Rourke, a British couple trying to save their marriage, encountered Little B and her sister fleeing men who had destroyed their village. When the killers caught up, demanding the girls, their leader presented a horrific choice. Someone must sacrifice a finger to save Little B's life. When Andrew hesitated, Sarah chopped off her own middle finger, like a girl topping a carrot. The sacrifice saved Little B, but couldn't save her sister, who was brutally murdered while Little B hid beneath an abandoned boat. Before escaping, Little B found Andrew's wallet containing Sarah's address, a lifeline to potential safety in England. 2 years later, Little B arrives at Sarah's suburban London home on the day of Andrew's funeral. Unable to live with his failure on the beach, Andrew had hanged himself days earlier. Their 4-year-old son, Charlie, now refuses to remove his Batman costume, answering only to Batman as he fights imaginary baddies. Everyone clings to false identities. Charlie with his superhero persona, Sarah still using her dead husband's surname, Little B peeping the name she chose during her terror. They've all become refugees from themselves. We refugees carry two heavy cargoes, horror and hope, Little B explains. The horror follows everywhere, not like something watched in cinema, but a disease they're sick with. She planned elaborate suicides in case the men found her again, breaking mirrors for her wrists, finding hollow spots in parks where only foxes would find her remains. Yet hope persists. She practiced English religiously, making grand words look natural in her mouth. Once you're ready to die, she observes, the horror loses its power. Sarah's life is further complicated by her affair with Lawrence Osborne, a Home Office official she met during an interview. What began during Andrew's late work nights evolved into genuine love. After Andrew's death, Lawrence arrives with a travel bag, claiming to his wife he's attending a management course. Lawrence expresses discomfort with Little B's presence, warning Sarah about harboring an illegal immigrant. What if she comes into your room at night with a kitchen knife? What if she's crazy? When he suggests Sarah must choose between your life and her life, she angrily reminds him she sacrificed her finger for Little B and could cut him off too. Unknown to both Sarah and Lawrence, Andrew had been investigating Nigerian oil wars, asylum seekers, and detention centers, apparently planning a book about his findings. These hidden truths create an atmosphere of tension and mistrust, threatening what little stability remains in their fractured lives. Sarah's professional life is in turmoil. Returning to her women's magazine Nixie after Andrew's funeral, she finds her deputy has taken her desk. The upcoming issue features superficial content about fashion and cosmetic surgery. Feeling disconnected, Sarah pushes for a refugee feature, reminding staff of their mission: bring them in with sex and then immerse them in the issues. After Charlie temporarily disappears at the beach, hiding in a drainage pipe he calls his bat cave, Sarah impulsively quits her job. Her publisher's indifferent, fine, response leaves her shocked yet liberated. She considers continuing Andrew's book project, wondering if his personal connection to the story was what troubled him. My week with Little B made me believe I could be someone who could make a difference, Sarah reflects, before doubting herself as just a quiet, practical, bereaved woman. Charlie's disappearance clarifies her priorities and strengthens her resolve to help Little B, despite the risks and Lawrence's objections. When police arrive after Charlie's disappearance, Little B observes their equipment with detached fascination. Though momentarily relieved when Charlie is found safe, her joy vanishes as an officer approaches. To her, this routine interaction carries life-altering implications. In a civilized country, they kill you with a click. Her escape attempt proves embarrassingly brief. Within hours, she's in a holding cell awaiting deportation. Sarah, Lawrence, and Charlie visit her in detention, faces drawn with helpless concern. Despite Sarah's earnest promises to use her professional connections, "I edit a magazine, I know people who can help," the deportation machinery grinds forward relentlessly. "Trouble is like the ocean," Little B observes. "It covers two-thirds of the world." The system's cold efficiency crushes any hope of mounting a legal challenge before her removal. Her brief taste of safety and belonging ends exactly as she feared. In Nigeria, Little B watches as Sarah and Charlie follow her. When soldiers threaten them, Charlie runs toward Little B. A soldier fires, missing Charlie but sending sand flying. Little B rushes to him, crying, "I am the one that you want." They meet halfway, and she holds the terrified boy as he cries against her chest. While comforting Charlie, Little B feels, "My heart take off lightly like a butterfly," and realizes, "Something has survived in me, something that does not need to run anymore." When Charlie wants to join local children playing, she finally reveals her real name, Udo, meaning peace. As soldiers approach to take her, Charlie removes his Batman costume and runs to play with Nigerian children. Despite her capture, Little B watches joyfully as the children play together in the sparkling foam of the waves that broke between worlds, laughing until the sound of the sea was drowned. Little B explores how lives separated by privilege become intertwined through crisis and choice. The beach serves as a borderland where developed and developing worlds collide, where moral choices determine survival, and where identities transform. The novel challenges our obligations to others. When Andrew claims, "This is not our affair," the Nigerian killer reveals how Western exploitation creates conditions for violence. Sarah's finger sacrifice represents a rare moment of Western accountability, paying in flesh for the privilege of safety. In our world of refugee crises, this story reminds us that statistics represent individual lives with dignity. Little B retrieving Charlie from Andrew's grave demonstrates compassion transcending cultural boundaries. When Charlie removes his Batman costume to play with Nigerian children, he shows connection is possible across profound divides. What if we recognized ourselves in those most different from us? Could we find the courage to act with the instinctive compassion that leads a child to share with strangers on a beach where worlds collide?